Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast, bringing you live in-studio performances from newsounds.org and streaming live on Facebook. I'm John Schaefer. Back in 2011, the Australian artist known as Gautier conquered the world with his song called Somebody That I Used to Know. That song was full of unusual sounds. There was that wobbly guitar thing, if that's in fact what it was. And when's the last time you heard a xylophone on a number one song? Well, it turns out that Gautier, real name Wally DeBacker, revels in unusual sounds. In fact, his latest project is a beautifully produced LP in tribute to Jean-Jacques Perry, an early and perhaps the only virtuoso player of an instrument known as the andioline. Wally has brought an andioline into our studio and is going to play some of the vintage songs associated with Jean-Jacques Perry and his 1960s instrument. Here is Wally DeBacker to play a piece called Cigale. That is Wally DeBacker, a.k.a. Gautier, playing live here in the Soundcheck studio in a song called Cigale, which means, is that cicadas?
Cicadas, yeah.
The cicadas of Provence. First of all, thank you for bringing the instrument into our studio today.
Wow, well timed.
How rude. So how did you... The history of electronic music is littered with strange carcasses of... I mean, it's like dinosaurs, you know? If you look at pictures of dinosaurs, how could something like that have possibly existed?
Yeah.
Electronic music history is kind of like that too, isn't it?
Absolutely. In a beautifully fascinating way, yeah. So how, still so many things hidden.
So how did you discover the Onduline?
Well, it was directly through Jean-Jacques Perry, definitely. I heard his music first in 2005. My friend and music production partner, Frank Titaz, introduced me to Perry and Kingsley's awesome 60s records. And I lucked out in a thrift shop in Melbourne. I found both the two Perry and Kingsley records and Jean-Jacques' solo albums that he made here in New York in the 60s. And over time, I just realized that I was so fascinated with these varieties of textures that weren't the Moog, that weren't his signature sounds. Those things were great, and I loved those aspects of his productions a lot. But it always seemed to be these unusual other things I couldn't quite place, and almost all of that would come back to the Onduline. So that, very tic-tac-toe fashion led me to learn more about Georges Genie, the inventor of the instrument, and this relationship that Jean-Jacques and Georges had, with Jean-Jacques being the demonstrator and Georges developing the instrument. And it's led to a very, very deep dive in the last few years in particular.
Yeah, so it seems, because this LP is just part of a really lavishly produced package. I mean, I'm saying lavish. The album cover is white with a small black drawing on it, but immaculately researched, and it seems like everything you could possibly have committed to vinyl is here. And
thank you.
Yeah,
it's been a real labor of love, I'll be honest. Yeah, I feel like maybe I put more work and time into producing this compilation than maybe one of my own records.
So, is it specifically the Onduline, or are you in general interested in weird old electric instruments?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I'm interested in anything that makes a sound, but I do have a soft spot for early 20th century, especially tube period things. I think there's tube-based amplifiers, I mean, as guitarists well know, but instruments from the period before solid-state technology really took over. It's a lot of really special things back there. And for me, the Onduline is maybe the most special one, certainly the most special monophonic instrument from those days.
So Jean-Jacques Perry is the guy who was kind of the face of this instrument in the 60s. But the guy who invented it, Georges Genie, he invented it back...
39, he started working on it.
39?
Yeah. And it blows your mind even to think that was itself already 20 years after Maurice Martineau developed the On Martineau. So... those histories go back over a long time. But
and the theremin in the 1920s as well. The Ons Martineau was a big instrument in France. The great French composer Messiaen loved that instrument, wrote for it.
Certainly more, quote-unquote, serious composers made works for it. It was better known.
Yeah.
It was more established, I guess, through the conservatory, and I think Martineau had connections in the conservatories. I feel like Georges Genie is like the underdog.
The outsider,
of French electronic musical instruments, and... perhaps his instrument's even less remembered because I don't think he made fewer of them than Martineau's, but it never probably made its way into the serious music world the same way. It didn't have big pieces composed for it that called for an Onduline maybe to be kept alive for an orchestra to access and for a professional player. I feel like there's this community of pro-ondists who play the Martineau, but the Onduline I thought was so unfairly forgotten. and there are many reasons why. Which we've tried to overcome, me and a technician, Stephen Masucci, who's done all the restorations on this instrument and others.
Stephen showed me a picture of this instrument before he got his hands on it, and it's amazing that it is here at all today.
Yeah.
I'm going to come over there because I want you to show me this. Show me around the Onduline and explain to us what it is that we're seeing here. So we've got a little more than three octaves.
Yep, three octaves here, and you can switch with this register switch. So I was in the highest octave before. So it gives you about seven, can be sort of six to seven octaves.
Wow!
But you don't get it. So as you can see, I compress a key count down here, and you don't get a sound until you move this knee lever. So this is your overall envelope. And you could do things like tremolos with that. But it's very sensitive and gives you a lot of great control. You can really push into the amplifier with great, great drive. And that really affects the tone of different patches, because how you gain into that patch really gives you a different response, especially, you know, sort of blowing out the tube amp, I guess, is a big part of his sound of his instrument.
So this thing that you're currently playing with your hand, that's what your left knee is doing while you're...
Yeah, and when Jean-Jacques was playing the instrument, he developed incredible facility to sit with the piano on his right hand, left hand, accompanying himself, stride, bass, chords in his left, right knee on the lever, and flying all over the keys while switching timbres often. So he was incredible. And I think he developed a lot of that even in a few months from when he first convinced George Jenny to loan him an Ondulian.
Uh-huh.
And Jenny was obviously so impressed, he said, you should be the demonstrator of this instrument.
All right, so you've got the keyboard, and I noticed the keyboard moves side to side slightly.
So it's supplely sort of resting on these springs, and that gives you vibrato. So you're actually changing the capacitance of a circuit. There's like a fixed plate here, and then another plate that attaches to the keyboard and moves as you wiggle it, and that changes the capacitance of a circuit related to the pitch. And that's what gives it a huge amount of expression versus... other things people would put in a similar category, like the Clavioline or the Selmer Univox, where they feel much more organ-like, much more toy-like, I think, because you don't have anything like this.
Right. Well, it's interesting you mention the organ, because just as an organist isn't playing solely on the keyboard, but also changing the stop, pulling out the stops, as they say, you are also, you have a second set of stuff down here.
That's right. We'll hear it more in this next tune. So apart from this lateral moving vibrato, it also has beautiful touch sensitivity on the keyboard. That's the one other major thing to talk about. So you can, there's a little box in here which has a thin layer of asbestos. And the way that that compresses when you push the whole keyboard down gives you a sort of a...
Wow.
So it's like 1940s era touch sensitivity.
That's amazing.
There's a lot you can do just with that. So when you combine that even with subtle movements of a knee lever, you've got a lot of subtle little envelope shaping controls. But then here, these things, people sort of ask, are these basic waveforms or are they filters? It's sort of neither and both at the same time. So for instance, you know, patches built on the A are things that generally start to resemble a little more violins. Patches built on the B can be much more clarinet-like, even. But then all sorts of other things are possible. I really like the way that things built on the C can sound quite horn-like. And then the cool thing down here is you can obviously play with these things if you're using your knee for the overall volume.
It's striking how close that is to synthesis.
It really is, yeah.
You know, the idea of putting
there's a subtractive
putting different
element
forms
to
together.
It,
yeah.
And the big thing I think that that Jenny worked on when he evaluated the Onmartino and the theremin was that he thought that both those instruments' super heterodyning system of creating their sound, of, you know, beating together two super high frequencies beyond our hearing range to result in a third frequency that we can hear,
right,
that it just wasn't rich enough in harmonics to make a real musical instrument, you know, that could anywhere approach the claims that they would make. It can sound like every instrument in the orchestra.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jenny made the same claims for his instrument, but he decided to go for a multi-vibrator oscillator in the audio frequency range, and I think it's just a beautiful sounding oscillator combined with a beautiful tube amplifier, so you get a very rich harmonic spectra to start with, and the way that he then sort of subtracts from that, cutting in with very often complex, interesting combinations of capacitors and coils behind these switches, is just, well, it's very human, I find, the vocal quality of them.
I didn't follow any of that sentence except for the very end, but I agree with you 100%. So I'm going to get out of the way and let you perform another piece for us.
Yes.
Wally DeBacker, a.k.a. Gautier, is with us here in the studio. And I guess I'll switch back to my regular microphone now. Is this another Jean-Jacques Perry piece that you're about to
it
play?
It is. This is one of my favorites. Jean-Jacques used to love talking about all his explorations of cartoon music, very unashamedly so. And he had such a beautiful way of manipulating this instrument in particular to make these wildly cartoony sounds. So this is an early thing he did not too many years after he'd moved here to New York from his native France, around 1962-63. It's a song called Chicken on the Rocks.
All right. Wally DeBacker, live on Soundcheck. Back in the correct range. The poor Ondioline. No major composers wrote for it. And now we can see why. No. That's a pretty funny bit of sound from Jean-Jacques Perry. Chicken on the Rocks from Wally DeBacker and his Ondioline. Do you have just the one or do you collect these things?
I've collected a number now, which feels a little absurd to say because I spent 5 years not being able to find even one.
Wow.
And then when this... as we said before, very kind of compromised instrument came my way, and Steve and I decided to try to fully restore it. It took a year and a half, and through that period, I don't know, it's like the universe started sending them my way after all these years of searching. So I've collected a number now. We've restored, we've got two fully restored instruments from this 50s period in the show, plus a backup, and there's also a very early, what we call a long body instrument that doesn't have a speaker or an amplifier in it. That's Stephen's also restored. And we're looking at various other models at the moment too to try to really revive the technical work behind the instruments so that hopefully others could also restore them to a higher level. And yeah.
So what does your Ondioline orchestra consist of in addition to two or three of these Ondiolines?
There is Theremin, played by one Rob Schwimmer, who I know has been on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
Rob's also playing a bunch of Moogs and keyboards, pianos. We've got a rhythm section, guitar, bass, and drums. And then our other keyboardist, Joe McGinty, does various organs and other wild Moogy patches.
So the things that the laptop is taking care of today, the kind of backing track stuff, is all done live.
That's the first performance we did with the Ondioline Orchestra in November last year. It's sort of a little mix of that performance that I did when I'm playing solo. Yeah.
Wow.
And the other big one is, I guess, I'm triggering samples on a launch pad here next to the Ondioline from Jean-Jacques' kind of signature collection, the things that he's maybe better known for, these wild music concrete style burps and squiggles and incredible pops that he wove into these wonderful melodic rhythmic loops, starting with the Perry and Kingsley records.
So he was on the scene here in New York, Jean-Jacques Perry.
He was,
in the 60s and 70s. What was he known for? I mean, was he known as an electronic music? Did he do commercial music? What?
He did do some commercial work. Yeah, he wrote music for children's television. He worked with Angelo Badalamenti. They wrote for Captain Kangaroo on American television.
Really?
Yeah. There's a song in the show we play, which Angelo actually composed. It was unreleased until it came out on this compilation. Beautiful song called Danielle of Amsterdam. Angelo composed it. Jean-Jacques gave it beautiful voice with his wild Ondioline playing. Jean-Jacques' period in New York was really a huge expansion for him. He'd already done some wonderful things in France. He played with Charles Trenet, went on tour with Trenet.
There's a Charles Trenet song on this
compilation.
There
is, a beautiful song.
Yeah.
It's called The Soul of the Poets. And it's the first time that Jean-Jacques ever played an Ondioline on a pop recording, 1951.
When did he pass away?
Only last year. It's only a couple of weeks before we did our show, actually. So him and his daughter Patricia were due to join us, which itself had sort of felt touch and go because he'd sort of said Well, I guess I should say I met the man over the last few years before he passed, so we spent a lot of time together. It's one of the things that actually led to these projects.
Yeah. So he was very much involved in that. I mean, he knew that you were resurrecting his old work.
Trying to. I flew out just before he passed and went to see him in hospital and showed him this compilation. And I have a very fond memory of him. He was very much in and out of a kind of morphine haze, but he came out of it at one point sitting by the window in his hospital room and was just looking at this jacket and the record and, you know, the track list and the booklet, especially because it's such a, you know, kind of thick booklet with lots of color photographs. And he had this beautiful smile on his face, just like of, I don't know, I think he took great pleasure that people would discover a lot of these things that had been sort of hidden in his early work.
Well, you know, I just have to say on a personal note that you were in the position after winning all those awards, the ARIA Awards, the Grammys and stuff, where you could do anything and do it for yourself. And the fact that you've taken so much time to do something for someone else to bring back a music that was essentially lost, I just find, you know, that's a really great thing.
Oh, thanks, John. But
my follow-up question is, why? Why is it important that we have this music? You know, that we have Jean-Jacques Perry et son Andioline as the album says. Why is it worth your while to do this and our while to hear it?
For me, it's worth my while because I just feel so passionately drawn to it. I love the sound of the instrument. I love what Jean-Jacques was able to coax out of it. There's a spirit there in his music, I think, is you don't hear in a lot of music. There's a wink in the eye. I feel it's beautiful in so much of his stuff. But there's also, I think, a deep melancholy that comes out in some of his music. So as a curator, I had a bit of a self-held aspiration to put some other feathers in his cap, so to speak, because I thought he was a musician with maybe even greater depth than he actually had been celebrated for. And it's not that he hasn't been celebrated. He lived long enough to enjoy quite a lovely second wind in his career and people rediscovering his records. But sometimes I felt that it was cheapened a little bit by being sort of thrown into the Exotica cheesecake basket, and that there was more to his work than that, especially as I kept getting these beautiful artifacts from him and from his daughter Patricia that revealed unreleased songs that I thought were amongst his best work.
Yeah.
So and also the spirit of just giving something back, because he's given me so much incredible energy with his music. I can't think of something sort of nicer to do than try to make a really beautiful project in tribute to that. But why is it important? Why do we need it? I don't know. I think, existentially, why is anything important? The only thing I can say at the moment is there's a lot going on in the world that is pretty distasteful. There's a lot of negative energy. There's a lot of music that that isn't necessarily buying to that negative energy. I think it at least feels there's a high level of maybe banality and sort of the industrialization of the way pop music is written and produced. And I hear a spirit and a warmth and a humor in Jean-Jacques' music that I think is a beautiful antidote to that. So I think that's why it should exist again and be listened to again.
That's a great answer. All right. Wally DeBacker, a.k.a. Gautier, is with us here in the studio today. So the last piece you played for us, Wally, showed the more kind of 60s goofy Exotica quality. This next work, although much shorter, is something else again, isn't it?
It is. It's from a musical that was written by Billy Goldenberg, who, after this 60s period where he collaborated with Jean-Jacques, went on to win Emmy Awards and composed lots of well-known themes for television and film and worked with Steven Spielberg. But in the 60s, he adapted Ray Bradbury's Dandelion Wine to a musical stage with his friend Larry Alexander doing the lyrics. And I thought the melody that he wrote for the sort of overture, the main theme of Dandelion Wine, was such a gorgeous piece. There was a rehearsal recording made of Billy on piano, Jean-Jacques on lead, Andioline. Jean-Jacques was one of a small ensemble with Billy of maybe four or five people who played accompanying that show. It was only performed five times, if I'm right, in 1967 at the Lincoln Center, and then never performed again. And this rehearsal recording was one of, I think, Billy and Jean-Jacques confirmed, only maybe three or four copies that were made just for the guys in the band to listen to and keep in touch with the show. So it really was a lost work. And I just loved this melody so much. It's so short, as you said, but it's one of my favorite melodies of all time, I think. So this is Dandelion Wine by Billy Goldenberg and Jean-Jacques Perry.
Wally DeBacker, live on Soundcheck.
Thank you.
That is Dandelion Wine, inspired by a classic Ray Bradbury story. Associated with the andouille player Jean-Jacques Perry, was there ever anybody else, Wally, who was associated with that instrument to the extent that he was?
Rock and roll fans sometimes remember Al Kooper, because Al Kooper was a fan of the andouille and was jamming on it on some of the Super Session recordings, so you can hear it on things he did with Bloomfield.
Okay.
And he, in really stark contrast with Jean-Jacques' deft mastery of vibrato, I find, like, Al's generally, like, going wild with his sort of fast left hand.
Mm.
So very different sound to it. And to me, sort of more like things that you probably could do on a clavioline or univox, whereas I think what I love is that Jean-Jacques really found all these particular expressive things that kind of only the andouille, I think, could do, and really took them to a beautiful higher level of expression.
Now, have you written anything for this instrument?
Bits and pieces. So I'm hoping to feature it. I actually would like to make a tribute song to George Jenny on my album using just andouille sound. So that's, now that I guess this compilation's been produced, we've done a number of these shows, and now that they've survived a tour to Australia, come back, post-tour of duty, Stephen has sort of calibrated them to the point where hopefully I can focus on recording in the studio with them.
So we can look forward to hearing the andouille on the next Gautier record.
Yeah.
When do you think that will be?
I'm hoping there'll be some songs out this year. There's a number of things finished. I'm kind of just looking at what the last few things to bring it together are. Yeah. And this, I guess, an andouille piece would be one key thing that I really want to be on there. So
okay.
It's one of the next things to work on.
And down the road, the Stylophone, the Chamberlain, the VCS3. I mean, there's all, you could mine this for the rest of your life if you wanted to.
it does feel like, yeah, some of the worlds of projects I've set for myself. Yeah, there's an endless quality and a feeling like you can just kind of keep following these pieces of string in so many directions. It's a great feeling, actually.
Yeah. Wally DeBacker is the singer, songwriter, composer behind the Gautier albums and this new recording, a tribute to Jean-Jacques Perry and his andouille. Wally, great to have you with us here in the studio today. Thank you so much.
Thanks, John.
This is Soundcheck. That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but as always, there's much more to be found on our website. Lots of other performances, video shot in the studio, the daily gig alerts, weekly music roundups, new sound shows, and more. Check it out at newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.